This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by BlackStarLabs.com, home of the best tasting protein powder out there. You can check them out at BlackStarLabs.com. Don't forget to mention the FitCast when you place your order. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 191. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me this week is Dr. Jonathan Fast. John, how you doing?
Chilling. I'm back home in dirty Jersey. I'm on a two-week vacation.
That's right. I heard the situation flew you back for some personal training. Is that correct?
That's correct. Do you know, someone told me last night that he makes something like $5 million last year.
Yeah, he's going to make bank. Well, he has a workout, too, that he sold, so...
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's the situation workout.
Damn right it is.
To be honest, I mean, if I could be real for a second, I think the warm-ups that he puts in his workouts are much better than anything I've seen so far.
Really? Like,
anything that Bill Hartman has done, I think the situation's above and beyond. Yeah, I mean, it's a whole new idea. New ideas when it comes to mobility and, like, rehab.
What does he really do?
I have no idea. I haven't looked at it.
I was so excited if you actually saw the video.
So, first off, we're going to do the reach, roll, and lift. I don't think he'd do that, though. So,
Yeah, go ahead.
I can't do a Jersey accent. You'd have to do it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. But we have a show for you this week. So obviously we didn't have one last week. Things are pretty crazy. I was out all weekend looking at apartments. I ended up getting one. So that along with that goes a couple weeks leading up to moving into the apartment where things are kind of crazy. And again, I've been working on this thing that is going to be coming out October 1st. So I'm going to have some more info on that, and we'll have a special interview when it comes up to that date. But it's shaping up very well, and I think everyone out there is going to be really pleased and pumped to check this out. It really is going to be cool, and John's been playing around with it a little bit.
Yeah, very cool stuff. Very cool stuff.
Well, like, John, I'd love for you to check out a little bit of the stuff that we've added over the last couple weeks. Added some new stuff, so.
We'll do.
Check that out.
But it really is like a one-stop shop, man. It's pretty cool stuff. It's game-changing. Game-changing.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that we've said that I think I've leaked out is that I'm working with like a pretty big name on it, but the cool thing about it is that we're actually going to be working with a lot of other people on it as well. So it's going to be it is going to be very, very interesting how things shape off over the next 6 months or so. I think you guys are really, really going to like it. But I won't talk about that too much because, frankly, I think half the audience is kind of sick of me. And
that'd be my guess.
The other half just stopped listening. So
true.
We do have a pretty cool show lined up for you this week. We're going to be doing basically a talking shop episodes where John and I have some stuff we just kind of want to talk about, and maybe this is a kind of a thing where we do a listener feedback through email and see what you guys think, if you have any opinions yourself. We are going to try to get Brett Contreras on shortly. We're trying to track him down. We think he went out for UFC last night, so worst case scenario, I might try to grab him later today if we can't grab him when we're recording now in the morning. But we do have some cool stuff to talk about. So let's get right into it, John.
Word. Go for it.
So the first thing, we kind of wrote down a couple of things, and one of the ones that I wanted to talk about was the psychology behind grocery shopping. Because I know when we go grocery shopping, we usually see stuff that may disgust us, or you know, be like, how are people buying? How are they filling up their cart with, you know, a dozen donuts and, you know, frozen Hungry Man dinners and all this stuff? And you're like, oh my God, how can people eat that stuff? And, you know, one of the things that I just kind of realized that I see really often is, we've probably talked about this in the past a lot, but people who fill up their carts with like all this low fat or reduced sugar products, but also at the same time have it filled with like Oreos and ice cream and the donuts and whatnot, and trying to eat somewhat healthy, or trying to eat the healthier version of junk food. And I just don't know if that's
cheating,
that's,
basically.
Well, yeah, I think
trying to have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah, trying to rationalize it a little bit. And I think one of the big hurdles that we face as trainers and as coaches when we deal with athletes or clients in nutrition, it's the fact that people will really try to rationalize anything that they want, whether it be eating poorly or saying, oh, you know, I'm going to skip this workout today because I'm going to be walking my dog later and we're going to be going for a long walk. So I think that's probably just as good as going in and lifting for 45 minutes and doing my intervals or whatever. So I guess this is more of a topic of rationalization and how we can work with our clients to get them around that. I'm even working with one client now who's straight up said, you know, I will pretty much rationalize anything to myself. So we just kind of started talking about, you know, how do we just allow you to not rationalize stuff and just kind of set some boundaries and some guidelines that you can work with. And I think that's the process of finding a balance and seeing what works and what doesn't. That's why, you know, no one makes drastic changes in 1 month. It always takes a couple months. So you can kind of feel your way out and find out what works and what doesn't. But John, I'm sure you've even seen this, like in terms of the rehab side, where people will rationalize, oh yeah, I wasn't able to do my stretching this last week because I was too busy, or, you know, I just totally forgot about it. And I'm guilty of that too. I should be stretching my pec every day and I haven't been doing it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's behavior changes. It is,
yeah,
all psychology.
Totally.
It's behavior changes. And I think that it's reasonable to assume that a majority of our clients, if we're personal trainers, or even just the majority of individuals trying to, you know, lose weight and get in shape, they're gonna come across these things because chances are it's the type of thing where it's like what got you into the situation in the first place is what's gonna keep you there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I have weight to lose, you know, what's the likeliness of the fact that it's just like, oh, I just had a year of work and I couldn't work out, like something that, you know, would be more, you know, quote unquote legitimate, like, yeah, mm-hmm. just this and that, as opposed to, you know what, I love eating and and I hate working out, you know.
I think sometimes that you know what that might be fine, like when you do bust your ass for a couple months and you go on a vacation and say, you know what, I mean most people out there who are overweight, they are overweight because they like food, right?
No, I think that's way too general, honestly. I think it's way too general.
I think it's
multifaceted.
Well, I definitely see a lot of people in the gym who are in the gym multiple days per week, and they love to exercise. And again, when we talk about personal experiences with clients or athletes and stuff like that, where they have no problem, they love to exercise. They will come into the gym, they'll bust their ass for an hour and a half, 4 days, 5 days a week, whatever they need to. I'm sorry if you hear any shaking. That's my dryer right now. But I think it is an issue of sometimes that people just, they love food, they love to eat. Like, I mean, look at athletes like Shaq. You think the guy trains pretty hard, but he doesn't eat well at all.
Yeah, but the other side of it is what makes Shaq Shaq in the first place. Like, you know, it's take the other side of that argument and say, well, everybody that's in great shape must eat perfectly and work out perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
We know that's not true either.
Absolutely,
I think a lot of it has to do with genetics, and a lot of it has to do with the individual differences and how, you know, our genetics and our the biology and the physiology that makes each of us unique. I mean, there's, to some extent, there's not, obviously not a huge difference from person to person, but there's just enough that we know that, you know, two people on the same type of diet and workout regimen may have fairly different results.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side of that is all the other stuff, the stress, the sleep, the, you know, the intangibles and the little details that make so much of a difference. I think weight loss is such a huge multifaceted condition, you know, and being overweight. And we obviously still don't understand it entirely.
Well, I think that's super interesting that you say that, because there's I mean, there's certainly other people out there that say no. It's simple. It's yeah. You know, it's what's it called? And I agree that in some ways it is simple to a point when you get right. when you want to get to a certain level of fitness. Like when you look at Michael Pollan's food rules,
mm-hmm.
And he basically just tells you, you know, eat fruit and vegetables, eat lean meats. You know, don't eat anything that's white, in terms of like grains and stuff like that. And don't eat too much, and you'll pretty much be good to go. But
I don't think it's that easy. And anecdotally, we know it's not that simple, because if it was, more or less everybody would be lean, or at least in shape that they'd like to be. And I think that, you know, I think the problem is this, that on the basic level, on the macro level, it is easy. Stop eating, work out more, eat less, you know, whatever. But when it comes down to it, it's not that easy, because our bodies are not static. They don't just, it's not math. It's mm-hmm. not a math formula. If it was a math formula, I agree, it'd be the easiest thing in the world. Oh, look at this. I need about 3,000 calories a day. I think I'll eat 2,700 and I'll lose some weight. It's not that simple. So because it's not that simple, that's where the difficulties come into play, and this is why people have not only problems physically losing weight, but just like you were saying, emotionally and psychologically losing weight, because of the difficulties in implementing that. Even if you have the perfect diet and the perfect workout, it doesn't matter if you can't get yourself to do it.
So does that mean when we deal with people, we have to literally go down a list? Because I think that's tough. Dealing with a new client or someone that's new to fat loss, it's throwing a lot at them at once. And I know, obviously, you're going to agree that we have to just give them a little bit at a time, try to give mm-hmm. them, try not to overwhelm them. But if you start saying, all right, you have to start eating less, you have to sleep more, you have to start taking fish oil, you have to exercise more, you have to make sure you're stretching on your days off, because to be honest, your posture sucks, and mm-hmm. you have low back pain and all this other stuff. I think it's a tough balance between getting it so you don't overwhelm someone. And I mean, right. you know, and people want to know everything at once, though. It's I don't know what to do.
It's, you know, well, I think people want to know everything at once, but you also sometimes have to protect them from themselves. And I think that a lot of times that's what ends up happening. People, you know, when they get into fitness, and especially when they start getting interested, it becomes an all or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many times, like, I've had clients say, hey, I want to take a little bit of a break because I'm just so obsessed with this. And it's like, why haven't you been breaking all along? Like, you know, it becomes this black or white issue where I have to eat perfectly. I have to work out perfectly. If I miss a workout, oh my God, it ruins my day. If I eat something I shouldn't, oh my God, it ruins my day. And it's the attitude of wanting to do something well is probably good, but the attitude of wanting to do something perfectly can really, you know, really screw someone up. And then at the same time, the opposite of it is then, of course, I can't do anything right, or I'm not going to even bother to try. You know, so you've got to find, in my opinion, that happy medium, because it's good to feel good about yourself. It's good to look good and to derive happiness from that, but it can't be to the point where you're obsessed with how you're looking and you're, you know, stepping on the scale every day and deciding, you know, half a pound of weight fluctuation is going to ruin your day. I mean, that's the other side of things. And we get clients from both ends. So people sometimes want to know everything because it's like their new hobby. It's their new joy. And they want to know, no. But sometimes doing too much of that can backfire because they get too obsessive about it. And it all depends on the individual. You know, I like giving information to my clients. I like explaining things. But sometimes people are like, you know, they come right at you and like, they're like, okay, so what should I do here? And then what should I do there? And it's like, dude, you should just chill out. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, you did your job, you did your workout, you had a great workout. Don't worry. You're good for the day. Just be, you know, just be normal, know your goals and stop. Actually, I think it's almost a micromanagement. A lot of times I've dealt with people that are like, you know, thinking about today. And it's like, no, you have to think about a year from now. You know, think about your ultimate goals. Don't think about today. Don't think about, I want those M&Ms today.
It's that
think
whole about, 1% better thing.
Right. It's like, well, but it's all, yeah. And it's like, where are my goals? Does this fit into my goals? And does it screw them up? Like, if I have a bag of M&Ms, does it fit into my goals?
Hey, I get a great quote for that. You know, Dan John, Look at your behavior. Look at your goals. Do your behaviors match your goals?
Yeah, of course. But then the other aspect of
that guy's
this,
smart.
Where, he is. And the other part of it is, though, I think that it's the short term versus the long term, and people need to organize their thoughts better when they're dealing with exercise and weight loss. So, right, on the and if with just not to take anything away from that quote, because I think it's an excellent one and it makes a huge point. But the other aspect of it is this: if I have the bag of M&Ms today, is it congruent with my goals? No, it's not. But in a year, if I only have the bag of M&Ms today, or maybe once a week, is it congruent to my goals? Yes, it is. So then it becomes, because it's not going to make a difference. It's not going to disrupt you, and chances are, psychologically, it may even keep you. So you have to look at the short term versus the long term. But if I have a bag of M&Ms every day, then it may not be in accordance with my goals. Then that may, in fact, make it worse. So I have to basically, you know, it's moderation. It's being able to say, you know, I can have this treat, or I can skip a workout if I need to and not feel worthless about myself. But if I did this every day, it's going to be a bad thing. But if I don't do this once in a while, it may still be a bad thing as well. And that's where I think people get into troubles. And that's where you have this like binge shopping, like what you're talking about, or like either going one way too obsessively or going another way too obsessively, where it's like you shop when you're hungry and suddenly your cart is filled with crap and you just blew the day, you know, because you're going to go home and buy this and eat it, you know. So I think it has to do with educating our clients to understand that this is a long journey. This isn't, you know, because too many times, think about it, like you get a new client and what's their goal? Well, I have a wedding in 3 months, or I want to look good for the summer. No, you want to look good for the rest of your life. You want to impose healthy habits.
But they also have those short-term goals, which you also want to meet as well.
Right, and those are fine, but I think to focus too much on those goals can feed into really bad habits. So I think saying, okay, this is our short-term goal, but long-term, you know, because what ends up happening is they put a time constraint on health, and that's a problem. Because if we're trying to make healthy people and we're trying to make successful people, then focusing on a short-term goal doesn't always work well, because – in theory, then, once that wedding is done, I go back to my old lifestyle. Or if I screwed up one day, oh my God, I just lost a day. I only have 3 months, and now I just screwed up a week. Well, what have I done?
I think that it does depend, and it's from client to client, because the certain people psychologically are more comfortable being that all or nothing person.
They are. That's true. And then it does ask the question, what's our role in that? How much can we affect our clients' thought processes? And I think you probably can a lot. But
yeah, if you have some clients where you give them a certain guidelines and you say, all right, this is what you got to do to lose weight. I have clients that are like, all right, done. I'm locked in. I don't, you know, I go out to eat and I make sure I don't. I ask the waitress or the waiter how the food is prepared. I check, you know, every box to make sure that I'm always trying to reach that goal that I have. And I think for some people it works really well. And if you give them that quote, you know, moderation, where you allow them to have a bag of M&Ms once a week or whatever like that, it opens the door, or it opens the floodgates, and like, oh, well, I guess I just had a bag of M&Ms. I might as well go out and have pizza because I already ate something that, you know, is pretty bad. What's a little bit of pizza going to do? All right, well, I had some pizza. You know, what's a couple of beers going to do? I
mean, again, that's the difference between short-term and long-term, because individually, right, you have to have that short-term. I agree with you, the short-term and the long-term. But it's like the idea is this, getting back to the idea of you know, all right, we should make it very strict, or having a goal of in 3 months I have a wedding. Which client do you feel more comfortable with? The client you've had for 3 years that says, hey, I've got a wedding in 3 months, let's kick it up a notch, versus the brand new client that comes to you and says, I want to get in shape because I have a wedding in 3 months. I argue, you know, the client that just wants to up it a notch and they've been consistent overall, I don't have a problem with that. I think it's great. The new client that says, hey, I'm only here because I have a thing to do in 3 months, that's not the attitude that we want. So it's all relative. Once you have someone that is living a healthy lifestyle, going a little bit, you know, 10% in either direction is an okay thing. But if, you know, the client that says, hey, I'm going on vacation, what should I do? You say, enjoy yourself, because you've got a consistent record. You're not going to screw it up either way, because you already have the mentality of being healthy. But at the same time, you can go and have a good time, have a dessert every night. Who cares? Have a couple drinks. It's not a big deal. And when you come back, you're going to be right back where you were. It's not going to affect things. But the short-term client that doesn't have that mentality yet, that may not have that mentality yet, or is focused on short-term things, isn't going to be able to handle that.
I don't know. I think I would love to hear what some of the audience thinks about that. Like, send us an email, because I'm curious to see if there are a lot of people that listen or that are really into fitness and nutrition and rehab and all that stuff that are those all or nothing people. I think they are. I think a lot of them are.
I think a lot of them are, and that's fine. I'm not arguing that that's bad. I'm arguing about when it becomes obsessive. Like, I'm not arguing the point of people, like, because you hear it all the time.
What's the point when you become obsessive? What is that? Is that when you go on vacation and you eat nothing but, like, beef jerky and, you know, or you go to the movies and you bring a thing of beef jerky? Because that's Tony Genelcore, and I think that's not bad.
No, I don't think that's it. I think obsessive is the point where your success or failure on the scale outweighs anything else that you might want. That's a different argument than what other people say you should want. Like, you know, it's a different argument than if you go to a party and you say, hey, no cake for me, and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe you limit yourself, and you're like, well, I'm really not interested in having the cake. That's not what I'm talking about. It's the argument that it's the idea of people that want the cake don't allow themselves to have it and then have a mental distress from that. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not talking about regular diet stuff where it's like, hey, look, you got to limit yourself. I'm talking about people that aren't able to balance, you know, small rewards or lifestyle changes for this goal. And it's almost like a self-punishment thing.
Well, I'm going to read something that's kind of interesting that, did you get to read Tate's article on, or his interview on T-Nation?
No, I didn't.
And I think this is something that pretty much every listener that's listening to this podcast right now can relate to. But I'll just read it briefly. He says, you ever go out with a bunch of people for dinner when you're dieting? Isn't that an effed up situation? Let's say you're at a table with seven people and everyone's ordering their food. You're at the end, so you're ordering last. They're getting ribs, chicken strips, spaghetti, whatever. No one in the group cares what they're ordering. The conversation stays the same. Then it comes to you, and the first question is, how do you prepare your chicken breasts? People start staring, looking at you. Then you order two plain chicken breasts with a side of broccoli with no butter or seasoning. The waiter writes it down, and off he goes to the kitchen. Now everyone's looking at you like you're a freak. They didn't care that your other friend was eating ribs. They didn't say S when the guy ordered his chicken strips. So how is your meal selection any different? It blows my mind. If you're ordering something that was complete shit, no one would say anything. But because you ordered something to help you achieve a goal, it's a problem. Now for the next 10 minutes, you're having that stupid effing conversation. Quote, it's so easy for you to lose weight, they say, I can't do it. And you're thinking, really, here I am at Outback Steakhouse ordering two plain chicken breasts and broccoli, which is going to cost me $40, by the way. Isn't that easy? This is something I want to do. You think I want to sit here and watch you effers eat wings and ribs? I'm here for your company, not to give you dieting tips and you're not going to listen to. And the same shit happens when you're bulking, too. The only reason I read that is I think it is something we can kind of all relate to. And, you know, it is the reason I bring it up is because it's all about having that support. And I mean, it is tough. And I think this is one of those situations where people would try to rationalize, you know, all my friends are ordering steaks or they're ordering, you know, ribs and stuff like that. But I have a goal right now, and my goal is to reach a certain body fat percentage or whatnot. So I'm going to continue to.
And that's fine. That's what it should be. I think I think if you look into what he was saying, the argument is more about what everyone else thinks. You know, that discussion is more like, why am I catching hell for trying to be healthy?
I know. I just kind of shoehorned that in there because I really liked that what he said in that that article, and I was just like, yeah, you know, man, it's glad that obviously we all feel that way. Like, that's effed up that people really think we're crazy for eating that way. And, you know, it's like when you order a chicken, like I like to order sometimes a chicken Caesar salad without dressing. People are like, God, you eat salad without dressing? How do you do that? I'm like, it's not that hard, bro.
Yeah.
There is water in the lettuce. I have water right next to me. I can swallow it.
Olive oil and lemon makes an excellent dressing, by the way.
Thanks. I'll write that down.
Yeah, it's really good. To me, that's something different. We're talking about two kind of different things. The one part is, how do you kind of exist within a diet and a healthy living situation when others aren't being? And that's different to me. That's not an obsession. Like, that's, other people might be like, oh my God, they're so crazy and weird. But we all, I mean, it's like, come
that's
on, man.
That's a fine line then.
Yeah, I mean, healthy. That's not crazy or obsessive. Versus, you know, the
you don't think that people look at that as obsessive? Chicken breasts and broccoli?
Yeah.
I think that's the definition of it.
Of obsessive? Well,
yeah. I'd be like, people would be saying, relax, man. Stop freaking out about, you know, your nutrition. What's one little, you know, burger and fries going to hurt? I think it's a very fine line.
I think that's fair, but then the question becomes, is that, are other people's definitions of obsessive, I mean, is that truly obsessive versus, again, saying, you know what, I enjoy being healthy. I don't enjoy a burger as much as I enjoy being healthy. And I think, to me, and that's just my opinion, I think that's how I define obsession when it comes to diet. Yeah, because, like, to me, it's like, there are things that I don't like the look of, I don't like the taste of. And a lot of times it's because I don't find it, it's not healthy. And I just don't enjoy that. You know, it's not worth the small, like, things with, my diet is simple. No trans fats, no high fructose corn syrup. And it's psychological, but when I eat stuff that I know have it, I don't enjoy it. I don't want it anywhere near my body. I know it's unhealthy for me, and it's the same feeling that I get from cigarette smoke and from, you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that where you're just like, this is not healthy for me.
Well,
you know, so I don't want to enjoy that. So it's almost, actually, I think that's almost an argument. It's like people saying, why don't you smoke? I love smoking. It's like, because I don't want to be unhealthy. You know, in a sense, it's kind of what we're talking about, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
But that's
a little bit more, you know, the general population that's frowned upon a little bit more.
But it's frowned upon because we know the health consequences of cigarettes, and quite frankly, we know the health consequences of eating poorly. We just ignore it because,
well, the juice man was saying that, you know, what is it, 50 years ago, he was on television saying, I don't know if you've ever seen that video where he is literally telling people to, I'm going to see if I can find it right now. Continue talking.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, I think that's my point, but I think it's a good one because we are just talking about, like, definitions, and it's a lot having to do with, you know, just kind of opinions of what defines an obsessive individual. But I can't say that I think when, like, let's take the person that, you know, if they skip a workout one day, they have to work out twice as hard the next day, or the person that has a bad meal, you know, one day punishes themselves the next day by eating super clean or super healthy, or, you know, I think things like that where people begin to not only feel negatively by something, but want to somehow make up for it or punish themselves for that negativity. That can be obsessive, in my opinion. It's like, you know what? Move on and don't let it happen again. But don't sit there and feel bad about your behavior. I think it has to do with thinking things out logically. If you act on emotion or you act in reaction, like you just without thinking grab a cookie and eat it, and suddenly you're like, oh my God, why did I do that? And then they feel horrible, versus taking a second to stop and say, do I really want this cookie? Yeah, I do. I think I'll have it. It's not a big deal. And then being done with it and being able to control those impulses and those behaviors, I think, is probably a good indicator of obsession versus having a healthy approach to your diet. And it doesn't mean you need to eat cookies to be healthy. That's not my argument. It's just, it's almost like just the reaction of how do you deal with, you know, being on a diet or exercising? Is it an all or nothing approach? And is that all or nothing approach something that gives you happiness or is more stressful than it's worth? Actually, yeah, I think that's probably the difference. It's, does this cause you stress? If it causes you stress, you may be obsessive. If it doesn't cause you stress, then you probably have a good, healthy relationship with your food and with your exercise.
Very cool. And I think, have you seen, what's that food movie? Oh, God, I'm blanking right now. Not Food something?
Food Inc.? Food Inc.?
Yeah. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. I've been just on my to-do list. I really wanted to see it.
I think that's where the clip is from, and he talked about. I'm gonna find it because I'd like to post it for you guys so you can see it if you haven't seen the movie, but the documentary. But very interesting stuff. Just some simple nutrition guidelines, and I think it's very interesting that we're having this whole discussion without Lee.
Yeah, I know, seriously.
But you know what? It works.
But you know, I mean, I think it is a good topic though, because it's all about, you know, how people approach it. But I think that's, you know, I find one of the biggest kind of red flags for me, and it's part of the vernacular. I mean, people kind of are used to talking this way, but it's the same approach. It's the same shudder I get when people are like, oh, major muscle groups, and I have to do my biceps and my triceps and my quadriceps, and what exercise should I do for my back? And I always try to talk about the idea. It's like, you're one person. Just talk about what movements, talk about what activities you're going to do, what your needs are. You know, don't talk about, oh, am I getting my biceps here? Like, it's a fine question to ask. Like, you know, is this a good workout for my arms or something? But it, you know, I like to think of it more as like, this is a total body activity, even if you're not. If you're doing like an upper lower split, you should still be thinking about the fact that I'm pulling things towards me, I'm pushing things away from me, I'm doing these basic kind of movements that are reflected in nature. And to me, it's the same thing as with diet. It's like, it's food is not the enemy. Food is not even a component of your life. Food is your life. We're designed to eat and drink, you know. So to me, it's about, is this healthy? Did this come from the ground? Did it come from something that eats from the ground? Or did it come from a plastic bag? You know, you are what you eat. And I think it's so vitally true. And people almost ignore that kind of logic because they're like, well, you know, whatever, that's corny. But it's true. You are what you eat. So eat healthy, enjoy food, enjoy your diet, enjoy the fact that you might be a little hungry on a diet because you know that this is helping you to achieve a goal and it's good for you. But don't be miserable about it. If you're miserable about it, you're going to fail. So you have to take joy out of the things that you're doing because those long-term goals are helping you achieve the short-term goals. And even though we're kind of probably designed to eat more and to gain more weight from a biological perspective, we also know that in a modern time, that's not the healthiest approach. So even though we're fighting certain cues and signals that we may have biologically speaking, we have to take joy in the fact that we're achieving quality goals and that we're doing things that we like. So it means that you can get to put a little bit of flavor in your, you know, chicken and broccoli and make it something that tastes good and it's still in congruence with your goals. That to me is what it is about just enjoying what you're doing, enjoying the ride and not looking at it as like, oh my God, food is the enemy and I can't avoid potato chips and whatever. That to me is a bad negative habit and can start to lead towards obsession. So
good. Well, I'm happy you wrapped up. I was looking for the Oscar music to tell people to wrap it up. I'm just kidding, man. So the other thing that we got a lot of emails about the last 2 weeks and makes a lot of sense is the whole ABC News vilifies creatine, says it's killing our high school athletes. I don't want to talk about this subject.
Yeah,
because everyone else already has. Yeah. The guys, I think it was Chris Shigert did an article on it. Mike Boyle did a blog post on it. People have already talked about this, and obviously, yeah, no, they're wrong. Okay.
Yeah, it's just not supported by the research.
So we're not going to talk about it. It's not worth, you know, even discussing. So the let's talk about something else. Let's talk about good discussion, by the way, John and Kevin. Good job. So the next thing I would like to talk about is a debate that was going on the strengthcoach.com forums about post-workout nutrition. And this is a debate that comes up like every 3 months, not on whether, I don't care whether it's strengthcoach.com or men's health forums or wherever, but people always are having this debate about what is the best post-workout nutrition. You have half these people on one side saying chocolate milk.
Right.
The other half is saying just have a meal. And the other half is saying have like a protein drink.
Right.
Or something like that. And I just don't understand why this is an argument that needs to be had and time should be spent on it. Because, I mean, sure, if you're new to this, I think it's a worthwhile question. But I just don't understand why there's people in certain camps. I think there's a lot of different options that will work. Obviously, you've got to have some kind of caloric intake to help recover. Whether, I don't care if it's low-fat chocolate milk or if it's your favorite recovery drink set of use at blacksproutstylelabs.com or Surge or whatever. I think it's all fine, and I just don't understand why people are passionate about this whole chocolate milk idea, because it's not realistic, especially when this topic came up in the form of collegiate athletes, because the NCAA has very specific rules when it comes to the supplements that their athletes can have. That is why you see companies like Muscle Milk and Metrex make like collegiate additions of their protein to make sure it fits those standards. And like I said, there's always this crowd. It's like, oh, well, just have them have chocolate milk after they lift. And I think that is a horrible recommendation or a generalization, because when you think about it, sorry, not all kids like chocolate milk. Sorry, a lot of kids can be lactose intolerant. And also, sorry, but it's kind of a bitch to transport chocolate milk around and make sure that it is not expired. And to find a good brand like a True Moo that doesn't have high fructose corn syrup, that's also a pain in the ass. And
well, what I would say though to that is that I think in general that approach is more the response to the, you know, people may be obsessing about, well, how many grams of protein, and if I weigh this much, how many grams of protein?
Who gets an S?
Well, but that's the point.
It's either that or they're going to get McDonald's.
No. But that's an extreme. I don't think that that's true. I think
extreme. I'm trying to make my point.
The idea is that, you know, on forums, you do get a lot of this like obsessive, because it's easy. It's, I post a question, how much is this and how much is that and how much is this? And that is coming, you know, the response to that is the, you know, just lift heavy weight, stupid approach, you know. And
yeah,
I think
just
that's
lift
the
heavy stuff, you'll get stronger.
Yeah, and that's the nutritional version of that. It's either, dude, just eat. Or, dude, just have a glass of chocolate milk, you're fine. And I think it's a legitimate question to ask. Is there a way that I can improve my post-workout nutrition, my pre-workout nutrition, whatever? Because if you're putting a lot of effort in, you want to know you're putting in good effort and that there's not a better way. I mean,
that's not my argument, John.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I think that we can discuss the intricacies of why, you know, there's a little evidence for this, a little evidence for that. No one really knows, so people just choose sides. Mm-hmm. But I think the idea is that, you know, where is this mentally coming from? Like, why are some people satisfied to just say, dude, I just eat, who cares? And other people are so finicky and you know, methodical about how they choose what. And really, to me, the question is more of like, which approach is better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know the answer to that. I think the approach of trying to, you know, optimize your results is a good one until it goes back to like what we were just talking about, until it becomes so obsessive that everything you talk about is like, I have to weigh every little piece and I have to know exactly what's going on in my body at all times. And that causes a stress if you don't do it.
Yeah. And I guess my only issue of the argument is like, I think it's a good argument to have. And it's a good discussion to have, because like, all the guys on the strength coach forums are pretty knowledgeable guys. And when they say something, it's worth listening to. But my opinion on it is just simply, and you know what? Actually, Carl Valley made this point to me a long time ago. Is, you know, if you just like busted your butt in 100-degree heat, do you really want to start drinking chocolate milk right then? Do you think you're going to be able to stomach that? Or do you want something that has more of a fruit flavor that you can water down? I really agree with that. I'm like, yeah, actually, that makes a lot of sense. If I'm just kind of lifting, you know, not going too crazy for an hour, yeah, I can definitely drink chocolate milk. And I like chocolate milk, and I'll drink it. And I sometimes use it for post-workout nutrition if I'm, like, on the run. But I just think it's a very...
You know what? I think I'm understanding what you're saying. This would be my argument. If we had definitive proof that chocolate milk was the best recovery agent and you didn't use chocolate milk, then you're not practicing evidence-based. You're not doing what the evidence suggests.
Oh, God, Brett Contreras is ready.
Oh, sweet. You're not doing what the best, you know, what is suggested, but we don't have that information. And that's where, because no one, to my knowledge, has compared chocolate milk to a protein source. We don't even know what protein brand is the best brand. We don't even.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Of course, it's Black Star Labs. But you know what I mean? Like, I think that's where that comes from. It's the idea that if we, if we had those answers, then everyone really should be doing exactly what the evidence suggests, because that's the best knowledge that we have. Since we don't have it, then it lends room for these discussions, which is fun, but it's frustrating and confusing. So if someone said that that chocolate milk is the best and they have the evidence to support that, then that argument of, well, but do you think you could really stomach it, is problematic. You have to find out. If you can't, then you have to use a different approach. But if you can, then you should, and there's no excuse for it. Because if you're trying to optimize your results, then that's what you should be doing. You know, it's the same thing that I was taught, you know, in my residency, and I think it's a fairly legitimate argument. If you have indisputable proof that this is the best approach to solve a problem and you don't use that approach, you better have a really good reason for that, because you're not – you know what I mean? And that's what evidence is supposed to be. Unfortunately, there's an attempt in physical therapy right now for what's called rules. They're practice rules. That basically it's like, okay, if my patient comes in and they're positive for this, this, and that, then I use this technique. I use this approach because it's what the evidence suggests. So it's kind of like what a medical doctor does. You come in with a runny nose and your fever is this, and you've got this blood mark or whatever, then you probably have this, you know, germ, you know, this, you know, virus or whatever, and I'm going to treat it this way. That's a clinical prediction rule. So that's what they were called. Sorry, I blanked.
All right.
We need clinical prediction rules in exercise. We need to be able to approach an individual, say, you know, are this tall, this much weight, you have this kind of, you know, levers, you're this much strength, whatever it is, and I know by teaching you this way, giving you these exercises, it will optimize your strength. And we don't have that.
Damn, I just found the music to play you off. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get Brett on the line, and I think I'm going to go grab somebody. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Huh.
Well, it turns out that's going to be the end of this week's podcast. We do have a segment with Brett Contreras, but that's going to be coming up next week, since I'll be moving. And trust me, you guys are definitely going to want a podcast for next weekend as well. I mean, it is a weekly podcast, isn't it? So please don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. Subscribe through iTunes. It's the easiest way to get a hold of the Fitcast every single week. And until next time, thanks as always for listening, guys. And I promise we will be back to our regularly scheduled programming very, very soon. But the content that we have with Brett Contreras this week is absolutely fantastic, and you guys are going to love it next week. Take care, and we'll see you next time. Hello, welcome to the off-topic discussion for whatever episode this is, like 192. We'll figure that out as we go. Obviously, we had no podcast last week.
That's right. Explain to the good people why.
I was looking at apartments and very busy.
Is that why?
Yeah, I'm still working on this top secret project. It's G14 classified.
Oh, that's cool.
And, yeah, I went to go look at an apartment, and I signed a lease, and I got one.
Sweet. Tell them all about it, Kev.
This lovely one-bedroom, one-den apartment comes with brand-new stainless steel. Oh, it's got, yeah, it's got, like, stainless steel appliances. It's in, I'm not going to say where it is, but it's in Massachusetts. And it's a great location for the youngsters. And it's got plenty of room for everything I need.
Sweet. Congratulations.
It has a gym with dumbbells that go up to 45 pounds. And it has a chest press and a
TRX,
has a chest press.
An ab wheel.
And a, no, it has a chest press, an adductor machine, oh, and nice. And a lat pull down, which is pretty sweet. And no, and the, and it also has treadmills with TVs on them.
Awesome. I love that.
So, instead I will be bringing my iron gym pull up bar, which thank God you can attach your TRX to. I don't know if yes, people have tried that, but it's a great, you know, it's a great way. I just thought it up, you know, over the weekend. I'm not the first person that thought of it, but I'm like, oh wait, I could just throw my TRX
like
around this.
You're like the most recent.
Yeah, I'm the newest discoverer.
Yeah.
Of it, so, right. Yeah, I've just been really tired. I had to pick up some furniture yesterday, and again, trying to finish up this thing, which I can say we're going to launch it October 1st.
Cool.
So I guess we're going to have to wait one more month, but we're going to start really talking about it in 2 weeks. I know I said that. I know I said 2 weeks, 4 weeks ago.
See, this isn't really off topic, though. This is more like news.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to really talk
too much,
about it on
Kevin.
The show. It's, I mean, it's why I've been crammed, and I picked up a couple more online clients who've been a lot of fun so far. So,
cool.
I always love talking with people. So, off topic though, I really haven't done anything.
UFC fights last night, but I know you didn't watch them.
No, I didn't. I should have though. One of our Kenny Florian trains at Boyle's. So,
does he really? He lost last night.
I saw that. Yes.
Yeah, he got owned last night. Actually,
did he? How many rounds did he go?
They went to full. It went to decision, but he was owned the whole time.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, he really got. I love Kenny Florian. He's a great fighter, but he just got owned.
Well, it was against a guy who was like undefeated, who's like
Ray
the
Maynard.
Second coming,
yeah.
Right?
Well, he's just very athletic, Ray Maynard, and he's an excellent wrestler. And if you know, Kenny Florian is not a very good wrestler, and a lot of times. If you can't, you know, their wrestlers can be very active and very athletic.
So that's like when they're on the ground and stuff?
Yep.
Is what you mean, okay.
Yeah, like you've got a number of components of mixed martial arts, stand up and ground play, but there are different styles and different ways that you can go at each position. And wrestlers traditionally are very good at getting right into MMA. Like other guys, like if you're like a boxer, we saw that last night.
So you mean like Brock Lesnar types?
Yeah, exactly. Because they're already good at the ground, and you can take a wrestler and teach him how to punch someone after you've dropped, you know, after you get them down to the ground. But it's harder to get like a guy that's a traditional stand up, like a karate guy or taekwondo, or whatever.
I gotta pick this up.
Great, and get them to understand ground play because it's so different. So guys like Gray Maynard that came from a good wrestling background and had good skills already. They're very explosive. They're very powerful. They can get a guy down and control them on the ground, which is very important. So, and a lot of times, Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys that have that background, they for some reason aren't as quick to pick up the wrestling, and you think that they would be, but it doesn't seem to play out that way. That because they're so used to going for looking for submission play, that they don't seem to transition to the actions of wrestlers very well. So Kenny, that's probably one of his weaker points is his wrestling. Plus he's a pretty small guy. He doesn't appear to be as very powerful as like some of the other guys are, and wrestling is a lot about body position and control, which BJJ is too, but it definitely helps the wrestlers that have the strength in their legs and the strength in their hips to get guys down and to kind of hold them down there. So is that enough talking?
Yeah, that is just perfect.
All right.
So, yeah, I mean, UFC stuff is cool. Again, moving out's a big deal. It won't be a joke anymore on the show that I live with my parents, which is going to be a pretty big deal. Might crush some people.
That was a great transition.
And I also picked up a new arcade machine.
What'd you get? You know, I'm going to point this out, all right? No. I'm going to stand up for everyone that can't, that doesn't care about your video games. We had the UFC, and you're still talking about video games. Kevin, man up, man. Come on.
Dude, it's different strokes for different folks, all right? It's a hobby. You know, I like to clean them up and repair them and stuff. And, like, even, like, people have either sent it on, like, Facebook or whatever, saying that I should not waste my time with video games. You guys don't understand how hard I've worked the last 2 months. I don't play video games. I haven't purchased a Xbox game in the last 4 months. I haven't played an Xbox game with, like, my good friend Roger Lawson or RogerLawFitness.com or .blogspot.com, I think it is. So I'm like, calm down, guys. Take care of yourselves. I'll take care of myself. Thank you for caring, but God, like, sometimes you just want to be like there's people that will literally sit at home and watch a whole season of Sex and the City. I'm productive. Don't worry about it.
And I also want to point out that we were supposed to have Brett Contreras on a release. That was the thought. It may not happen because it was kind of last minute. And if Brett was on right now, this whole friggin' off topic would be talking about
UFC.
MMA.
I know, but it's, you know, unfortunately, like, I will definitely, you want to talk NFL? NFL's starting up soon. I will definitely talk about that. Like, that, you know, that looks awesome.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to see it, man. I mean, I do get some of the games, but it's on,
you
like,
you can stream it online.
I can stream it online, but it's like crazy hours in the morning. I'm not going to be up. So I can either.
Some people care more than others, John.
Yeah, I care about living, like being alive. Like, the sleep is important. No, I mean, I can get it like NFL Network and stuff like that. But what I'm finding, like, with the baseball season, like, even if I do that, I already know who won by the time I wake up because I can't stop. I have to go and find out if the Yankees won. And then if I do that, then it's just like, well, then why bother? And, yeah, it's a mess, man. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, the Red Sox are done, so let's not talk about baseball.
That's cool. I like that.
But, you know, I'm going to go back a second. You know, I probably got really emotional there, and all I'm gonna say is, like, you know, everyone has their own hobbies. Like, John, do you do stuff besides strength and conditioning?
No, nothing.
All right, well, that's why you are where you are.
Right.
But you know what, I like, when it comes to Saturday and Sunday, I like to de-stress, and that's how I kind of de-stress. Some people like to, I don't know, what do people do for hobbies? Some people work on cars, and
hobbies.
People working on cars, or they go play tennis or something.
Of course, yeah.
I don't like playing tennis, and if I want to work in a car, I just live through Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, which I watched again last week, and actually just bought a Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift movie poster for my new apartment. I'm so pumped.
Oh, you never. Please, I want detailed accounts of your dates.
It will be happening, trust me. I guarantee it. Once this thing is done, like I said, I can go back to normal. But the I think it was like allposters.com had a sale going on, and I bought like a Back to the Future poster, a Goonies poster.
At least listen to me. At least
a Crank 2 poster, which sucks.
Oh,
I was trying to get like a crank or a transporter.
Listen to me. I'm here as your friend. At least get them framed. At least have a, you know, a small little frame thing. Don't just hang it up directly on your wall.
Frames are expensive, man.
Oh, God. Don't hang it directly on your wall like you're back in college freshman year. At least put a small frame on it so it almost looks like it's some kind of artistic something.
All right, fine.
If she walks into your bedroom and you've got a bunch of movie
Jason
posters
Statham next to my bed.
Yeah, and it's not even framed, she's going to be like, where the hell am I?
All right, here.
Did you get the Motley Crue poster too and Poison?
Mm-hmm, no.
Jesus.
I was going to say, what's that guy that Jack Johnson poster? But I hate Jack Johnson so much.
Nice.
But yeah, no, dude. But to be honest, those are all from my game room, because like the den is literally going to be the arcade. And you know what? That can be stupid for some people, but
I have quite
a few people that are pretty excited to come check it out once I have my Blitz Showtime set up. My Outrun. I'm going to have Mortal Kombat 2.
See, like, I'm not even dissing that. Just make sure that the room looks cool, man. Don't like that.
It is.
That's a killer room. You can make that into quote unquote the game room, but mix it up a little bit. Put a dartboard in there. Put some different stuff in there so it looks like it's a it's
How much
a,
is a dartboard?
What's that?
How much is a dartboard?
I don't know, like
30 20. Bucks?
Yeah, 20.
All right, I'll buy one right now. Oh, look, there's one with open cherry wood doors.
See? Now you're talking fancy.
$50. Done and done.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the room, like little, like a foosball table, like something like that to mix it up and make it like, yo, this is our game room.
Well, I was thinking about getting bubble hockey, but bubble hockey is like super expensive. You know what I mean by bubble hockey? It's like the guy where you have like the handles and you turn the guys by turning your wrists. It's kind of like foosball, but it's
I know what you're talking about. Yep.
And that thing's kind of cool. And I did get a basketball hoop thing, so.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, make it something like that where it's like it's a game room and it's an impressive room. It's like, yo, this is where we like chill out. Like, you know, like be like Cribs on economy style.
Dude, no, be like, yo, Fittig, show me your arcade room, son.
And he's got it hooked up to a movie screen.
Yeah, I got the 120-inch rear projection screen with the – I got these chairs at Jordan's Furniture.
Wow, that is an amazing 50 Cent impersonation if he was from Boston. Incredible.
And you can watch the Red Sox on it.
And that's a horrible Boston accent.
No, Papelbon.
Where were you born, man?
Dude, I can't hear myself speak because I got headphones on, so that's why I can't. I have no feedback. Dude, I can't hear it. It's no feedback in my snare. It's an Eminem thing. I'm so tired. Dude, I've literally been getting like 5 hours of sleep a night these last like month, so I don't care.
Golly.
So what else would you put in that game room? Give me some...
Right, so, yeah, but that's... I mean, just anything. Like, and, it can be cheap or whatever. Plus, I don't know how big the room is, so...
Well, I can tell you right now. I have the dimensions. Oh, damn it.
Well, that would be great. In front of me. We can interior decorate. This is an amazing...
This week on the FitCast, we do interior decoration.
Interior decorating.
Actually, I can pull it up for you in a boat.
Oh, I don't care. Just figure out how big it is and what you can fit in there and what's on your budget and go.
That's what she said. Oh, that's unacceptable. 13 feet and 7 inches by 8 feet 9 inches with doors that open up into the inside. You didn't see the pictures on Facebook?
I did, but I can't really see. Like, I can't really tell exactly how big it is.
Of course. I know that it's not really, I can't really tell. I'll email you this thing right now so you can take a look at it. It's a floor plan.
Word.
Because I value your opinion, John. And I need some, like, I mean, that is going to be, it's an enclosed room so I can close off the doors.
Right.
So when I do have, like, ladies over, I can close that off and say, you know what, if you want to come in and play some Mortal Kombat with me, you can, or we can go into my bedroom that's on the right and... play some Mortal Kombat in there.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm saying, yeah. Nah, that's a good pickup line.
Nah, I mean. Yeah, this is cool. They have, like, LCD, like, dartboards with LCD readouts on them and stuff, so it keeps score for you. It's pretty cool. But, yeah, man, I don't know. Like, it's one of the things, like, I did talk to Lee about is getting a Back to the Future pinball table, which is really hard to find.
Yeah.
But I think that would be pretty cool.
If you can do stuff like that, that's ill. Like, get a pinball table, get a, you know, whatever. Like, that stuff's cool, man. But you definitely want to do something. Oh, okay, that's the layout. Sweet, man.
Yeah, it's very not nice. Bad. It's not, I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's nice. I like that.
Well, trust me, I'm paying for it, so...
Yeah. Very cool.
Tons of storage space, washer and dryer.
Yeah, that's key right there. You can do the laundry in your place. That's key. It's a nice living room.
Oh, huge living room. Huge. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's very
what
nice.
I'm gonna put in it. I was actually thinking, I mean, this might sound weird, but throwing a projection on one of the walls once I can afford it.
Yeah, you can do that. My old living room was like that. When I was doing my residency, the place we lived at, the living room was like that big. It's crazy. You're just like, you walk in, you're like, what the hell?
Like what am I going to do in here?
Yeah.
Like if we got a pinball table, we probably have to put it in that living room anyways because it'd be too big.
Nah, don't do that. See, well, that's the other thing too, though. You can make, I mean, the other option is if you wanted to, if you don't plan on having like a lot of like people over at once, you can make the living room like your game room and then the den as the living room. But
nah. I don't think that's super classy. I mean, not that I'm a classy person, because I really don't care, but...
Well, because the other thing is this, though. Realize that the more space you have is the more need to basically fill it with stuff.
Oh, I have tons of furniture from my uncle who literally... Okay, that's cool. I have, like, a huge entertainment center. I have a kitchen table that's going to go right next to the sink area or the other side. Okay. Because it has a place where you can put stools and you can sit all along
there. Ah, that's key.
Yeah, so it's... It's really, really nice. So, I mean, it was like, they told me the price for it. I'm like, shit, I'll just figure out a way to pay for it. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll find a way to, I'll live on food stamps if I have to. But, cool. So that's it. Yeah, I'll definitely have some, this is the problem, is that I'm moving in next weekend, so we're going to have to figure out how we're going to do a podcast. We might have to do it midweek, like on Wednesday or Thursday.
I can do that. I'm home for 2 weeks, so I can do that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting you're in the States. All right, cool. We'll get a special guest, too.
All right, cool.
Maybe, well, you want to talk to... Who do you want to talk to?
I don't know. There were a lot of good suggestions.
I always like talking to Robertson, but damn.
Yeah.
I have some questions for him about his blog posts. I've been catching up on blogs and stuff, so...
Yeah. He's been putting out some good stuff.
You know...
He always... Us, but.
Yeah, there's so many guys that we have to get on, and I promise once I get settled and stuff, we will get back to the regularly scheduled FitCast and all that stuff. All right, let's record the podcast, and hopefully Brett will join us.
True.